This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bytes on this Wednesday, the 8th of May, 2019, just after 12.03, coming up to 12.04. I'm in the studio with...
Frida Liu.
Arvind Branch.
We will be talking today mostly about reviewing the reviews. We're looking at the idea of the annual review and how some people despise these things, myself included, and how perhaps we might be able to talk about adjusting how yearly reviews are done. Instead of waiting for one period at the end of the year when everybody has forgotten what's happened throughout the year, how might we be able to address it in a way that is productive for everybody and everybody walks away happy? We have some suggestions that we'll be discussing. We're also hoping that you guys will fill in and let us know if you are new to the review kind of process or you've just had one or anything like that. How do you feel about them and how would you change them? That's our question for today. How would you change your company performance reviews? That's Frida's story for today. We'll then be moving on to how Google are making erasing and organizing your data easier.
Mm-hmm.
Arvind's story there, wrapping up with new life for dead malls towards the end of the show. If you want to get in touch via WhatsApp, it is 018-789-8899. On Twitter and on Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Christine Wong is our producer for the day today. She's on the desk pushing buttons and sliding faders. She'll be with us all the way through as well. Frida.
Okay, so this is an article that came out from Fast Company, but I think the reason we thought about it, seeing that it's May, is because tomorrow is one year since we had a change in the government. So it was just like, you know, I guess we'll be reviewing how
exactly. The
current government has been performing in the last year. So we just turned it around and turned it into a business story. But so this is back in the day, managers, employees across a wide variety of industries, employer sizes lived and died by the annual review. But not only are there a lot of work for everyone involved, they aren't even particularly useful. So many organizations also provide little or no guidance to managers on how to conduct a performance review, which means that individual experience can vary tremendously. What's a multi-generational organization to do? Many have decided to supplement or replace annual reviews with more frequent ongoing feedback. And this is a great thing, right? And of course, I'll share some personal stories as well. So if you're ready to remix the feedback you and your fellow managers offer to your multi-general employees, here are some strategies to consider.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. Okay. One is to make sure that you give explicit instructions. I think this is so important, right? The author here says, I often tell many older employees who have younger staff that giving useful feedback starts with explicit instructions. So it says here, a law firm partner once complained to him that he had tried to support a young associate's career by bringing her with him to a client meeting, but she blew it. When asked what happened, he said with disdain, she talked. Okay. According to this partner, a junior associate absolutely should not speak in a meeting with clients. When I asked him if he had told her that in advance, said she should have known not to talk. Okay. In this instance, the failure is in the partner, not the associate. And that's very true, right?
Yes.
And then I think also when you say not to talk, why?
Right.
You know, why are you not? Because I would think that if I was going to be, I work in a law firm and I'm just sitting there, right? Is this person going to be of any contribution or value or whatever, right? And there might be a reason why you don't want me to speak and just observe and take notes, but explain to me why, right? So that's one. Give very explicit instructions. Okay, one of the things as well, when I was working with the... With a multinational and I was working for a regional job, my manager wasn't with me, right? So it was just, there were KPIs I had to meet and, you know, I had to make sure that I met them. But you can't gauge me on whether I'm taking ownership or whether I have the culture, because so long as I do the work, how would you know what culture I would emanate, right? So, I mean, it's very key, very specific measurables, right? So that's one. Conduct one-on-one check-ins. So Adobe is one company that's abolished annual performance reviews and decided to replace them with check-ins, frequent meetings between employees and managers. One-on-ones are hardly a new concept, but if more managers actually held them, he says, I'm willing to bet that productivity engagement will improve tremendously. I'd rather have that right? So quite simply, one-on-one check-ins signify to employees that they matter. So in a busy high-tech world, so many leaders have gotten away from the necessary nurturing of relationships. I advise managers to go back to basics and get to know people. A little personal attention can go a long way.
For sure.
right? It just shows that I care.
Yeah.
Everyone's different, right? Yeah. You know, what's going on in your life. You know, if something's not up to mark, what's happened, right? And I think also more so, if you know that someone's been a performer and suddenly they're not performing, there's probably underlying issues, right?
And here's the thing. These yearly reviews, sometimes you'll sit in a room and it will be an hour and a half, 2 hours of intense, stressful discussion, debate, backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And often these kind of one-on-one check-ins can be 5 minutes, can be 7 minutes, can be by the side of the lift as you're waiting for the lift to go up and down. You know, how are you today? Mm. How's things with your mum? How's work going? And that often is enough to kind of get an indicator as to how that person is doing.
Right. If you only made a point to care. Anyway, this article is adapted from Lindsay Polak, who wrote the remix, How to Lead and Succeed in a Multi-Generational Workplace. Another thing also is have conversations about employees' future, right? So some organizations have a formalized variation on one-on-one check-ins that they call stay conversations. The purpose is to discuss employees' future at the organization. So Lindsay said she once sat next to a young professional on an airplane who worked in sales for a major beverage company. Mm. When I told him about my work, he identified himself as ambitious and frustrated millennial. He asked advice on talking to his manager about how he could advance more quickly. I keep asking my boss what else I need to do to get ahead. He told me, and my boss keeps saying, be patient, your career is a marathon, not a sprint. And I understand that, he said, but can't he at least tell me what mile of the marathon I'm on, right? And he says, that sentiment makes sense to me, and this is why stay conversations can be valuable. When was the last time you talked to your top talent about the future? So many people are told in their exit interviews, why are you leaving? We have big plans for you. And they reply, why didn't you tell me that? And maybe they have no plans for you, and maybe that's a sign to leave. Right? I mean, that's it, right? Or if you have plans, or a person says, oh, but I think you're this sort of person, then what can I do to improve, right? What sort of training program, what sort of skills are you providing for this person, and not leave a person wondering, right, where they stand in that place, right? And exactly, right? I need to know where I am. I've literally done a run before, and there were no markers, and it was really, really frustrating, because it's like, how much energy do I put into this? Where is the finishing line? Do I conserve energy? Do I give it all I have? So at least I know, okay, this is what I'm doing. If I want to speed up, this is what I need to do, right? So the literal story behind that. Use technology when it makes sense. Some organizations, such as IBM and Warby Parker, replace their annual performance reviews with apps that provide employees with ongoing feedback. PwC even has an on-demand system where employees can request fine-tuning whenever they want it. The app overlays a visual that compares past results with current ones. And sometimes people need to physically see, where they are, right? So this is a law firm, Reed Smith, recently developed a feedback app based on suggestions from the firm's own associates. Casey Ryan, the firm's general head of legal personnel, said, we decided to provide the app as an addition, not a replacement, to our annual review process. So associates can essentially have the best of both worlds. An annual review is valuable, but it could be about a piece of work from 12 months ago. So the goal of the app is to offer an opportunity for partners and associates to talk more regularly and real time about case and work development. So particularly in a highly demanding and stressful job, the app is a way to both raise a performance culture and make a big firm feel smaller. And you can sort of track your progress, right? You sort of like visually can see where it is. You don't have to try to, what did I do 12 months ago? I mean, I can't remember what I did yesterday kind of thing, right? So you're able to see that. An app, who knew, right? I mean, we've got the technology. Why not do it with HR as well. The fifth one is to practice the MBWA technique, right? Simple, effective management strategy and feedback opportunity is a decades old. Management by wondering about. Okay, I remember learning this. This is as easy as it sounds. You literally walk around and chit-chat with your team. One Harvard Business School study found that managers with the lowest levels of respect are those known for shutting themselves in their offices, or they form little cliques, right? And you're like, oh, there must be, in some sort of palace, and they're, you know, like unreachable, the untouchable, and they're holier than thou, that kind of thing. I remembered when I was working for an MNC, and I had the general manager that would always walk about, and he was really. I remembered I found a lump, and I had to take time off, and so my immediate manager would know, and he'd be walking around and said, "Where's Frida?" And then so my immediate manager didn't know where I was. He says, "You're the manager, and you don't know where she is, and you know she's got a health condition, a health situation. And he made a point to find out where I lived and sent me flowers.
Wow.
And to this day, I will always remember him, Ao Xuan Wei. Anyway, and it's just little things like that, and that inculcates loyalty, right? So if you choose to implement this strategy, remember to be inclusive in your wandering. Be careful not to visit only the areas where Gen X employees sit, if that's where you are, or to chat only with outgoing personality types or longer tenured staff at a certain level. So most important, let people know explicitly that your goal is chatting and listening, not checking on them. One nonprofit executive director said that he tried this strategy when he first took the job. Employees almost passed out when he came to the cubicles and said he wanted to talk. They thought they were about to be reprimanded or fired. It's just conversation, right? And not to, and the it's very easy to just talk to the talkative ones and, you know, forget the quiet ones, right? Mm-hmm. You really have to make time for the quiet ones as well and notice them a bit more.
Yeah. Are there any, so I'm looking at this and thinking, are there any benefits of the once a year sort of like reviews? Mm. Like what do you think?
Looking at them now and having had them for a long time, both in this company and other companies that I've been to, the only benefit is access to management on a one-on-one basis. You know, with that person who often sits in their office, it's the one and only time of the year that you can sit down and you can say exactly how you feel. That's the only time I felt I've been able to do that without being interrupted and without it being a two-minute conversation where I've really needed to get in-depth information. That, for me, is the only real benefit that I've had. But if it were one of these regular, ongoing kind of checks, I think I would feel closer to that person because, you know, it's like having a conversation sometimes. Even if you're just talking to somebody for 2 or 3 minutes, but it's regular, you're forming a bond. Whereas if you're having that one-on-one meeting once per year, it feels like you're going to visit the headmaster.
Right.
Feel very formal.
Yeah.
But I'm also thinking that this all these things would work better if the person or the manager giving you the instructions had like a single vision or knew where they were going. Because otherwise, if let's say you worked for someone who was fickle or who couldn't make up their mind as to where the team is going or where the company is going in a year, then you would have 12 months of 12 different goals to reach.
Right.
What I mean? So like every 3 weeks, someone would walk up to you and go like, okay, I think you should do this, and I'll check in again maybe the end of next month. And then when it comes to the end of next month, it's, I don't think we're doing this anymore. You have to pivot.
Right.
So you'd be pivoting a lot if the person is not consistent. So I think consistency is also important if you want to follow like the once a month sort of like check-ins.
Okay, so the other thing as well, like we're usually sometimes, many a times, you know, you would have gone to a review and it would have been a great review, right? But they happen, the one thing that you have to improve on and you just come up feeling like, not so good, right?
Yes.
And you know, here's sometimes you're doing something well, this is good, keep doing it. Sometimes it's just like you're already on the right track, you know, don't try to change things if you're already good. One area to improve, right? One area to improve, and then again, the sandwich, right? And then again, where else do you think, you know, when you're doing something well, encourage that as well.
Okay.
Right? Because otherwise you're always thinking, wow, how do I go up to the next level? You always feel you're not good enough. So some things that you're doing already, encourage that. You know, celebrate that, and so that the person will keep on doing that.
All right, we've got to wrap up this segment. Before we move on, though, very quickly, Arv, if you were to change one thing about reviews, yearly reviews, what would you change?
One thing about yearly reviews?
Or reviews in general?
I would change it to this. I would do the monthly check-ins.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Agreed. I'd do the monthly check-ins and I'd make sure the MBWA, Management by Wandering Around, is implemented in all companies. I think that it's something incredibly useful for everybody. It makes you feel as though that person is actually part of the team and not somebody who sits in a golden chair. Right, we have to take a break. 018-789-8899. The question is, how would you change your company's performance reviews? Let us know. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter and Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Music coming up from Teenage Fan Club with About You. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Begin fun moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I was expecting him to say BFM 89.9 there. My name is Rich Bradbury and I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu.
Arvini Braj.
With you all the way through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking about reviews today. How would you change your company's performance reviews? We're focusing on this, of course, because tomorrow marks the 1-year anniversary of the change of government. And we're kind of, setting it up for a show that we're having tomorrow about some of the things we will be talking about tomorrow. But we're focusing it on a business element for today. And now we asked for feedback. We've got a little bit via WhatsApp and via Insta Story, so we'll get to them in a minute. But again, 018-789-8899 is a number on WhatsApp, Twitter, and Instagram. At BFM Radio. So over on Insta Story first, I have May Lifts, who says, have it every quarter so people won't forget what was contributed whilst it's still fresh in your head. Makes absolute perfect sense. Christopher Lim over on WhatsApp has said there should be four sets of reviews, a self-assessment, a peer review, a boss review, and a subordinate review. How do we feel about that?
The subordinate one, I'm not so sure, because why would you?
Well, I mean, it'd be nice to find out from the subordinates how well they think you're doing as a leader, perhaps, or as a manager.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Also from Dr. Kairi Khalil, he said, by providing trainers training to all the reviewers, some of them end up being demoralizing the persons being reviewed instead of motivating them to do better. I completely agree with that. Kishan has also said upward feedback is important. There you go. That answers the one. About subordinates. So that's where we are. We've agreed with some of those. Frida.
Oh, we continue that story.
We're continuing with this story. Yeah.
I had a very good story, but I forgot about it altogether.
You forgot about it altogether?
Altogether. Okay, so I guess also, like, when it comes to reviews, I mean, I've done it over the years. We had the 360 reviews and all that. And I feel that when you need to do, you got to be very clear in terms of measurements, right? These things we call SMART goals and what you need to achieve and all that. So everything needs to be quantifiable. Otherwise, it gets very up in the air, right? And sort of like very wishy-washy, you know, you can't work on, you know, we need more direction. What direction?
So give me some direction.
Yeah, three things that I can work on, right? And because it's easier to comment and criticize. I mean, like, we get that, you know, working in a radio station, and we appreciate feedback, right? Feedback with suggestions on ways to improve. And sometimes it's just 2-3 things, right? With the 2-3 things, then you're able to then work on that and then improve from that as well.
Yeah. You asked before the break what I would change about, like, review systems and all. And one of the other things would be to have more tech in reviewing itself. I think, like, we did the story about, like, IBM and how they had an app that sort of worked with people's reviews. Like, people could check in on their reviews, like, anytime they wanted, just to see where they are. I would love that, because if you had, let's say your goal was to reach X amount of something. For me, like, personally, what I would do is I'd break it down into like micro sort of checklist items of how I would reach that goal. I would love to have an app where I'd be able to sort of list down everything that I had to do to get that goal off my list. And I think a lot of people could benefit from that.
You're gamifying it.
You gamify it. Mm. Because then you do these 10 things and then one goal done. And then you do another 5 things, second goal done, third goal. So by the time you reach that 1-year mark, if you're still doing 1-year reviews, you have an app and you have like a digital log to show the person or your manager, your supervisor, whoever's reviewing you. And you go, look, this is all the things I did. It's proven. It's in the app. And, you know, everything has been sort of, you know, I qualify to sort of have this review. And I know what I did last year.
A few points here. Do you think that the a numbers rating is effective? So, like, this year you scored a 4, although last year you scored a 3. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think that's effective, or do you think it's kind of slightly dehumanizing?
It's kind of very subjective, because sometimes a person I know, like one of managers I had before, would say, you know, you're a 3, but 3 to me is really good.
Right.
You know, so and I said, oh, I thought it'd be a 4, but when the person came from a 3, the person meant it in a very positive manner. But you know, it affects everybody as well. The other thing is also, I don't know if it's culture is measured, which is very difficult. How do you quantify culture and ownership, right? Especially, I'm just thinking of the time when I was working for the MNC, and I was doing, like I said, my boss was not physically with me, and so we had quarterly check-ins over the phone and all that. And how do you, you know, and these are things I'm supposed to do, and have they been done? Yes. How do you measure the culture, whether I was in the culture? So we fell back to, I guess, what was the company's trust? Like, let's say BFM was to engage, enlighten, and educate. Let's just say that. Where was that displayed, right? I think maybe that's one way. Where did you feel that was displayed? But then again, how do you get someone else to say, you know, Richard, I don't think you have the culture. How would?
How do you define it?
Yeah,
you
know? I think that's where the peer reviews come in, right? Because when you have, that's why you have so many peer reviews, so they can sort of gauge what your culture is in the company.
But it's such an arbitrary thing,
right?
You know,
I mean, this white man here who doesn't know how it works in Malaysia,
right,
might operate differently.
I might operate
and have a different standard for what you think is good culture,
right?
Anyone else thinks it's good culture.
I mean, and that's the thing. If you look at the way in perhaps in which that might be interpreted back where I'm from compared to here, you know, good work culture, I'd imagine back home is you get your work done and you're home in time for your dinner because you've done your work and you've been smart enough to make sure everything is done before you leave. That's good culture. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
Here though, it tends to be, you're not staying late enough. I don't see you in the office until the blinds are closed, you know, and that's not because of the company. Mm-hmm. It's because of the culture in which you've been inculcated with.
That's very true. Yeah, right. I mean, if you look like outside the sort of like small bubble that we are in, right. Yeah, it's like that. It's a bit of an Asian thing.
To
work longer than you should.
Then you need to.
Then you need to. Like if you're here after 6, after 7, then people are like, he's so hardworking.
Right?
You know? Yeah. You're in the office.
You're just ineffective because what I can do in 4 hours, you need 8 hours to do it.
Yeah, you have no time management. That's why you're here.
And that's what back home they would say. They'd be like, why aren't you leaving now? If you'd have done your job properly, you should have left hours ago.
Yeah. You're either slow at your work or you don't know how to do it.
I mean, okay, so should reviews be purely goal-based then? Let's say you've sat down at the beginning of the year and you've said, right, we're going to do this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
You've achieved those goals. Thereby, you've got great feedback. You know, there's no sliding scale. There's no 0 to 6 or whatever it is, 0 to 10. Pass.
For your performance?
Yeah.
It should be.
It should be purely just as simple as that. Right, okay. So that's fair enough.
No, but are you saying it shouldn't have the culture thing in it? It's just
of course. I think that's a ridiculously arbitrary thing to throw into any kind of performance review.
See, I don't think so.
Right,
I don't think so. I mean, if you say like performance-based, the goals thing, it works, but you don't know how the person got their goals.
Right.
That's why the culture comes in.
Does it matter if they've achieved those goals, though?
Yeah.
It does, but if it's at the expense of someone else in the company, then they shouldn't be getting the reviews that they are getting. You know
good
what I mean?
Point.
You know what
I mean?
Like politicking is a big thing in a lot of companies, and you don't know how this person got their goals. And if it was at the expense of someone else, or like the subordinates, like we said before, if three people couldn't reach their goals because one person had to reach that person's goals, then the culture review needs to come in for people to go, look, this is not how you get to where you want to be.
It's like the university group project. You know, have like 5 members and there's always one person who's like phoning their answers in or their dog ate their homework or
whatever. He's not there for 6 months.
But they walk away with having had a pass because the rest of the group has kind of pulled it through.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So that's what you mean by culture.
That's what I mean by culture. That's what I mean by you need to have that sort of like the human touch, like the people touch in your reviews. And so what do people think of you as a person as opposed to like a professional working in the company?
Do you agree with that?
It's very difficult. I mean, like, again, no different scenarios, right? How am I going to have that when you have my case, I had a regional job. I don't see my boss. I don't see my colleagues because they're all over the country. They're all over the world. How then do you measure my culture?
He can't. I mean,
right. That's where
it's the way in which you craft an email. It's the way in which you craft a phone call. That's how some people would see it, right? How you respond to a text message, perhaps, could also be interpreted in Arvind's
way
of
looking. To whom? According to whom?
Exactly. That's what I mean.
It's subjective.
It's subjective. That's the problem. There we are. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it on that note. But we'd like your feedback on this. How would you change your company's performance reviews? 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter or on Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. Let us know your thoughts on this. We'll now be moving into some music from Cheap Trick with Hello There. When we get back, Arvind will be telling us how Google are making erasing and organizing your data easier. All coming up on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.